invited to a wedding. Daughter of a friend of ours in April. We're flying in and out of London, so the bride's future husband grew up there, and they met at Lemoyne College in Syracuse.
That's not really a destination wedding, though, because they live there. He lives
Correct.
There.
Correct. So it's a destination for us.
Right. It's a destination. But it's not like you're being forced to go somewhere you don't want to go.
No. Right.
Well, how do you know they want to go to Scotland, Walt?
No, I'm just saying that it's not like somebody picks something in I heard about a wedding in Colombia.
Right.
Oh.
You've got to pack up and go to Colombia in order to, you know, that it just seems to me a little bit, it's a little, I'm offended by it. You know, I don't have to go, but.
Well, I heard that sometimes people do that because they don't really want that many people to go.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well.
Yeah. So they figure if they have it someplace, they'll have fun, but not everyone will come.
It's a really great tactic, I think, because, you know, we have this wedding coming up and we've got over 200 people, but 80 of them, 85 of them are family. So
you mean your daughters?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's pretty big. I mean, that's a lot of people. So
we weren't invited.
No, sorry. You didn't make the list. I'll FaceTime when I'm there. Okay. With you guys.
We didn't make the cut.
Didn't make the cut out of 200 people.
Have you met my husband? The mayor?
You're echoey, Grace, in that new room.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
You don't have the closet damping.
The muffle.
Yeah.
Well, that's your job as an engineer, Walt. But maybe, you know, the recording won't sound so bad.
Yeah, just make sure you're close enough to your phone.
Is that close enough?
It seems like it. Yeah, I would say.
Okay, I'll get it as I possibly can.
Because, you know, the culture of Charboro Chats is not to assign blame.
Yeah, right.
But I do have to bring up something.
Oh, boy.
The last time someone had serious leakage,
uh-oh,
I had to go through the whole thing and clean it up. We recorded the video Kayla thing, and somehow there was a mistake after that. On that person's recording, mm-hmm, I could hear everybody else.
Oh.
Just as if they were in the room.
Here's why. Hmm. Here's why. It's me, because look at me now. Do I even have a headset on?
No.
No.
We're not going to point fingers. No.
It is me, and you can blame me.
I thought you had maybe earbuds. That's why you...
So let me...
Whew.
Holy crap.
Well, I'm glad I brought it up anyway.
That was so passive-aggressive, Walt.
No, I knew exactly what he was doing. Oh, brother. Wow.
It's funny, because last week I noticed you weren't wearing them. And again, I thought it's because you had...
No.
...earbuds or something.
Feel free to call me out.
That was a class 1 technical failure.
Yeah, sorry about that. Holy crap.
So, the elephant in the room we kind of have to talk about, don't we?
F1?
I was going to say, go ahead, Bailey. F1, Vegas.
Yeah, your elephant. My mouse.
I know you've been following Vegas and Formula One closely.
Oh, well, yeah. Closely in air quotes, yeah.
Anyway.
No, I just find little tidbits on Instagram and I send them to Walt. But the treadmill one was right up there, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was good.
I got to send that to you, Grace. You know, it's funny.
Yeah, I don't think I said it.
I hardly ever look at Instagram, and then I hardly ever look at the notifications when I do look at, mm-hmm, so I'm behind. But
I mean, the reason I don't really look at Instagram is because the times that I do, 3 hours later.
I know, it's true.
You know, I can't waste my time like that.
You almost have to set an alarm.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Like half an hour and then bun.
Yeah, the reels are bad because it says little shots of endorphin.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, F1 should be embarrassed. Yep. We're all embarrassed. But people were really pissed in Vegas and they completely alienated the entire fan base they were trying to grab.
Yeah, I was reading an article that one woman said her shop or something where she works is literally right next to the track and she couldn't see it because they put up black netting or whatever it was so people couldn't see. That's so stupid.
Right. There was a woman who owns a gas station and she said she's probably losing $2 million because
Oh my Lord.
Because the traffic was so bad and diverted. And
So did the Formula One people just not do their location scout well enough, or?
Well, they repaved. I'm sure. Huge amount of construction. I mean, you can't really believe. They spent $500 million to set things up. They bought some land and then they, you know, built garage area and everything. You know, apparently somebody didn't inspect the track well enough, or they didn't pave it well enough, or completely ruined the first day. Plus, they've never been in a country where the race was not on during prime time or the regular part of the day instead of 2 o'clock in the morning, which, you know, made sense for Europe, but it doesn't make sense for the U.S., which is what they're trying to get. So,
is this the first time it's been run in the U.S.?
First time in Vegas.
I thought they had it in Vegas before, no?
In 1980. They did, 82, which was another,
it
in the parking lot of the stadium, which was another
disaster. But, yeah, these people are like European royalty, the drivers, you know, and they're like, why are we in a parking lot?
Right.
Everyone hated that too. But it didn't cause, people in Vegas, I think, didn't realize the extent of the disruption that was going to happen.
Right.
Because it's a huge, it's not like just a new football team coming to the stadium. It was a whole reordering of the infrastructure. And then Max Verstappen.
Did he win again?
I didn't see the end.
Let's see.
Come on, Grace.
No, don't tell me. I have to watch the rest of it later.
Oh, you're going to watch. Yeah. Okay, I'm curious.
See it, your glasses.
But he was completely non-cooperative with the PR people and stuff, and he said it's ridiculous. He hates the whole thing, and the European Formula One fans hate all the American kind of razzmatazz and razzmatazz.
Well, I won't tell you who won, but I can tell you that the cutest one was up there in the top five. Charles Leclerc.
Oui.
He's dreamy.
He's very dreamy. I even know who he is.
On the first corner, Max pushed him off. So.
Oh,
sacré bleu.
But Max had a point. I think Max had a point. If we can just continue the Formula One discussion a little bit longer,
We're talking about the cutest Formula One drivers.
Right. Well, I'm talking about Max.
Oh, well, he's grown on me a little bit in terms of looks.
Yeah.
Well, he's like, yeah, he is hot.
They're all very fit anyway.
Yes.
He said the people that they're attracting, he didn't use the word Kardashians, but it's kind of the same sort of thing, that they're not teaching them anything about Formula One. They're pulling people in with their concerts and the food and the chance to see a celebrity and that kind of thing. And it's not going to last because they're getting the Netflix Drive to Survive people.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
they're attracted to it, but when they get there, they're not finding that it's what they thought it was. They didn't get to meet anybody famous, and it's a bad thing. And he's totally about the purity of the sport and the history. And he said, I can go to Ibiza and dance and get shit faced. Why do I have to come here? Well, I think that's a valid point. They're not growing the sport. They're growing the surroundings.
Do you think there's any U.S. city where they could, like, where maybe it wouldn't be like that? I mean, because Vegas is, no matter what you do there. Yeah.
That's what Vegas is.
Right. Well, that was the, you know, the point of Vegas is that it's the center.
Well, kind of like Miami, too, right? I mean, that's total party, get shit-faced city. So maybe they should have it in, like, Terre Haute or something like that. And then, you know. Yeah.
Right. Well, or Cleveland, yeah.
Omaha. Could you imagine F1 Omaha?
But, you know, when you put a wah, wah. But you put a show out like that where, you know, someone like me who's not into the sport and watching it, it's exciting. It's jump cuts. It's interviews. It's, you know, flames. It's crashes. And, you know, if you go and sit at a track and watch it and you're like, this is kind of boring watching a bunch of guys drive fast.
Right.
So I think that's a little bit of their problem, the F1 people, if they want to expand their audience, they've got to do it in Omaha.
Yeah, and the TV is definitely better than being there.
Absolutely.
And that's true with any sport, I think.
I
think at a Bills game, I've been, what do you watch? The big screen. You might as well sit home and be warm.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you really just have to like that live aspect of it. I mean, I definitely like live sports, and I'm not even really a big sports fan, but I definitely like live. But yeah, it's better if you understand the sport. Like when I like hockey a lot, and I understand it pretty well. And when I go, it's fine that I don't have a play-by-play going on. But like if I were, I guess football, right? I mean, but now don't they, and they broadcast like the, well, maybe they did before, but like when the referees make a call, don't they have it on the speakers now or something?
Yeah, they're mic'd. So when there's a penalty, they share it with the audience.
So what would you do, Walt, if you were the president of F1?
I don't know because, I've followed it all my life, and racing is really hard to explain to people. It's not like, here are the rules. It's not like football. Move this ball over here. You can look at it and not see anything. Like I look at basketball and I don't see anything. I just see, a bunch of running and shouting and throwing the ball, but I don't see what's happening because I didn't grow up following it, and I never played it except in, eighth grade or something. But racing is everybody drives a car, so they think they get it, and it has nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do with commuting to work.
There's also so many different levels of racing too, with NASCAR and Indy and stock racing and all that. There's so many different flavors
Yeah,
of
there's
it.
all kinds. So, but you could concentrate on one and focus, but you have to understand how cars move and how they're moving around all the time. It looks like they're just driving down the road and they're not. They're right. They're like this all the time. It's like on ice. So,
Oh, is that how it feels with those tires? It feels like they're just because there's no tread.
it feels like you're on ice, but if you instead of sliding, like if you are on the expressway and you get off at the exit and it slides along, it's like that, except when it starts to slide, it'll immediately,
Out of
it's
control.
because they're such great drivers that they can catch it all the most of the time.
Well, that's why they have to be so strong, right?
Well, yeah, the G forces make it a constant struggle against the weight of your body. But there's also the feeling, the sensitivity. The tires slide this much, and then they give up controlling it on that razor's edge is the whole thing about it. How do you even get people to care to learn about that?
Yeah, they'd have to drive it themselves to experience it, right? And
Yeah.
maybe, in the US, like everyone's played touch football or, everyone has played a pickup basketball game or,
I always thought if you could give people rides.
They have those now, but I don't, but they're not going at that speed.
It's very expensive. It's expensive to do, they do 20 people at a race or something, but that's not going to communicate it.
I like that scene in Ford versus Ferrari where I think Ford, right, what's his name? I don't remember what Matt Damon's character's name. I should remember. But anyway, when he takes out that that guy from Ford on the track and the guy basically pees his pants.
And his line is, I didn't know it was like that. Which is, saying something because he was president of Ford. He had some familiarity with it. So, anyway, we've talked about Formula One enough.
Oh, you're spent.
Well, I don't have any solution to their problem. I mean, it's a huge sport and it's had the big uptick, but I'm afraid it's going to collapse on itself the way the hotel prices did in Vegas.
They should have F1 go through like the Donner Pass. And then if people get stuck there, they have to cannibalize each other.
Wow, that's a whole new level of
Naked and hungry.
which is a perfect segue. What was that about alone?
Oh,
That's a reality show there. I like it. Did you look? I didn't look it up because I thought you were going to look
I
it
did.
up. So apparently it's, oh, you did. Okay, good. So it's a channel that runs 24/7 and it's stories about people who spend time alone, like doing the Naked and Afraid. But that was kind of all I got out of it. What did you get out of it?
Well, I don't know about the channel. It sounds to me like that it was a series. It's been on for a long time.
Oh,
I
really?
think they just might have taken all the episodes and show them on that
Is it
over and
German?
over. Yeah, it's they have 10 people And they send them out into the wilderness, literally with, they're only allowed to choose so many tools to take with them.
Oh.
And they're isolated, completely uh-huh. isolated from each other and all other humans. And they can tap out at any time.
It would be more interesting if they did medical experiments at research. Don't you think?
Jesus. Is that why you asked if it was German?
Yeah. Is it? Is it from the U.S.?
It, they go to, they've been to British Columbia, Patagonia, Northern Mongolia.
Oh.
And they just have this limited thing, and they have to basically build some kind of shelter, and they have limited clothing they can bring, and then they can win $500,000.
But I thought there already was a show like that.
Well, there might have been previous to this, but I think this one, this is the real thing. I mean, they're in the sense that they're really making them stay out there and try to survive, and it, and it's under real survival conditions.
But someone's filming them.
They record themselves.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. They give them cameras and they set them up. And
oh, okay.
And, you know, the one clip I saw, the guy built a little shelter out of tree limbs and stuff. And then he got really sick. Something, he ate a fish or something that contaminated in some way. And he got really sick and he finally had to tap out. They have an emergency button they can push.
Right.
Then the helicopter comes and takes them away. You can imagine the people that sign up to do that are really intense.
In shame.
And they intend to win. And so when they have to go to the helicopter, they're uh-huh. they're destroyed. So, you know, they do 10 minutes on this
they're
guy
crushed.
And then they
yeah.
go over to the other place and see this other. It's kind of engaging,
huh.
but a whole channel, I don't know if I can. It, mm-hmm. What it is, you're watching people suffer is really the bottom line, I think.
24/7, yeah.
And are they talking to themselves the whole time, or is it just silent?
Well, they're talking to the camera. They're talking to
oh, okay.
the camera, yeah.
Yeah, I guess they're, you know, they teach them. They give them a course and, you know, sit down every night and do 10 minutes off the top of your
right.
head.
Diary.
Or,
yeah.
And talk to the camera as you're going along. And
so you could sit there and be like, you could say, oh, watch out for the bear behind you.
Right.
Don't you see
right.
that? Oh my God, hurry up.
So
it's like a horror movie.
it kind of is, because it just makes you feel uncomfortable all the time.
Well, yeah, you know, like those mountaineering documentaries and stuff, that's how I feel the whole time. What the fuck? What are they doing? What, how can, you know, like you're just like, so it's so disturbing in terms of like how you feel about it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's
right. got to
be the same kind of feeling.
These people are always cold and hungry and,
right.
and tired out. I mean,
those are the three things, right? If I am cold, yeah. tired, and hungry, you do not want to be around me.
Right. And then their energy goes away and they start to give up and then they rally.
Or,
they, and,
or if they don't sleep, they hallucinate. Yeah,
they've hallucinated?
Kind of sure.
Wow.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I've never seen
wow.
that.
What did the person hallucinate? Do you remember?
No, I think they just had trouble kind of getting their thoughts back on track and trying to decide, you know, I got up this morning and I think I need to find more firewood, but I really can't get my, you know,
yeah.
it's like their brains just start to slow
and
down.
So they had, right. they yeah. cannot bring food with them.
No, like Walt said, they bring a handful
okay.
of tools. They can choose what tools okay. they bring, right?
I yeah. think they give them like a selection at the beginning and they have to choose. I'll
it's like
take this.
It's like Hunger Games.
Yeah.
yeah, it is,
I
really.
Saw that Bear Grylls guy once, right? I mean, I've seen
mm-hmm.
a couple of those episodes. Of course, he's with a camera crew, but I remember once he roasted tarantulas. He probably has done that more than once. He roasted tarantulas and
yeah.
said they were delicious. But then he caught like a catfish and ate it raw. It's just sushi, right?
It's like a requirement in each
it's
episode.
Like,
but now he's doing them with celebrities, right? Because he used to do them by himself. And now he does
yeah.
that.
Yeah, I don't. I think so. I haven't seen any of those.
Yeah.
yeah. And he famously drank his pee.
Yeah.
One episode.
Yeah, I've done that. Been there.
Come on.
Well, yeah, of course.
For Shaw. Like, she got stuck in the closet last week. She had
to. Oh, well.
They should have F1 go through, like, the Donner Pass. And then if people get stuck there, they have to cannibalize each other. Naked and hungry. It would be more interesting if they did medical experiments every so often. Don't you think?